Let's get you ready for the 14th annual Face Funk at the Poor House on James Island this Saturday. Brought to you by our friends at the Cotton Patch Hemp Company. And we say hello to the people who are going to be entertaining the masses on Saturday. And they've been doing it for several years here in the Lowcountry. And I'm looking forward to talking to them because I have experienced them in concert. So they have a deeply disturbed following, and I'm part of that. And that's why we are so happy to have them in the studio. We say hello to Sex Brews. How you doing, guys?
Doing great. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me? John Pope, drummer and vocalist. Will Evans, guitarist. Stratton Moore, percussionist. Hype man. Okay, time out. Hang on. I need a 20 here. Hype man. Please explain, Stratton.
So I like to do culinary arts on stage. So not only am I hype man, but I'm also the snack guy. I also play desktop, among other things.
Explain, because desktop Tronica, one of the only ones who do this in the world.
Right, I know of.
For people who don't know what a desktop Tronica is.
So I use my 99 compact with the keyboard, and I do stuff with that, and I hit it with sticks. I do keyboard solos as well.
Yeah, he's got a keyboard. He's a really good keyboard player. And
mouse.
He's got a mouse that he plays, and he plays the actual computer.
Yeah, along with along with the electronic music that we're playing.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of came up during a time when a lot of people were starting to incorporate laptops into their set, and we were like, you know what? That's just not enough for us. We go bigger. So we got basically the biggest desktop.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy, but you know, we can't compromise the tone, so we have to carry it around, just because if you were to gut it, it would lose the tone.
It's loud.
Yeah.
Well, it's way louder than a laptop.
And I mean this as a total compliment, having seen you guys in concert. Y'all are as fun as any band that you'll see on stage. Part of it, the hype man and the use of food. I mean, did that take a backseat during the pandemic where you couldn't quite do the food thing as much? Because I saw you guys throwing food from the stage when you were doing Safe Sounds at Firefly. So.
Well, the Firefly thing that you mentioned that, we had a snack drone. That was safely dropping snacks from 100 feet.
That's right.
And we also had
a snack launcher.
We had a fishing pole. We had a snack pole.
Oh, yeah, we did have that, too. We had the snack pole. So that was kind of fun. It was probably a 20-foot pole.
Gotta stay socially distanced, so we had literally a string on a pole with clips, and we attached the snacks. And
it could deliver about 7 to 8 snacks per time.
Ironically, it wasn't safer. It was actually really dangerous because people don't expect snacks to come falling from the sky like that. And then if the use of a long pole without practice... You know, we injured a lot of people with that. So, you know, you live and you learn on that.
Oh, that's okay. It's rock and roll. You never know. Yeah. You never know what's going to happen. By the way, we want to say hello to Julie Slonecki, who you'll see on stage, front woman for Sex Brews.
Oh, hey, Julie.
That's right.
She'll be there Saturday at the Poor House. We've got the guys in here. Okay, I'm backtracking here for a second. Please explain the origins of the use of food at Sex Brews concerts.
Yeah, basically, people were dancing so hard that we were worried people were going to start passing out if we didn't give them some sort of nutrients. So we started throwing out food and Capri Sun, just making sure people stay hydrated and they're eating enough.
Yeah, it's more like they're about their blood sugar. We've actually had some people fall out, and we've had to revive them with Doritos.
Yeah.
So that's the origins. I've always wondered. Y'all look like you're having as much fun, if not more, than anybody in the crowd watching.
Well, definitely
you perform.
More. Yeah.
You're having a blast on stage. I mean, the food throwing thing is just one of the aspects of it, but you guys, 2018 is when you guys formed, right? Around there?
We think so.
We think so?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have to ask this question. First of all, the name of the band, for those who are unfamiliar with Sex Brews, because a lot of people are going to be getting their virgin experience, perhaps, at Sex Brews at the Poor House, even though the Poor House is where friends and family and really close ones gather together and have a good time at Face Funk this coming Saturday. And then the question mark. Because you have to pronounce it correctly, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, Sex Brews. You got to add the emphasis there on the last syllable when you do the Sex Brews. So explain the origins of the band name and the question mark.
Well, I basically, one of the Face Funk is actually where Sex Brews was born. I basically just came to John and Julie at the time, and I said, hey, you guys need to write 30 minutes of material for your set, and you're going to be called Sex Brews?
Yeah, he said, I already put the name on the flyer, so we have to do Sex Brews. <That's>,
And then I had no idea what they were even going to do, and then I showed up on stage while they started, and I was like, wow, this is actually all right. And now we're touring.
Yeah, the rest is history, as they say.
How does it, I mean, because Sex Brews, I got to say that correctly, Sex Brews has been around in the Lowcountry for years, but I'm just wondering when you guys go on the road.
Well, we were a fake band, and now we're getting more towards a real band.
I mean, when I saw you guys, I mean, y'all did some pretty straightforward rock, you know, rock songs, as well as, I mean, is it fair to categorize? I mean, I always hear the word satirical. That's just one label. I don't like labels because you guys are engaging and funny and just having a good time on stage, and that's really what it's all about.
Right. I mean,
it's one of those things where we started off because we were just making fun of dance music and pop music, but then it turned out that now we just really love it, and so it's hard to tell if we're making fun of it anymore.
Yeah, I don't even think we know anymore.
I mean, but how did the band come together? I mean, was this a matter of just doing it there, that first Face Funk?
Yeah.
And it just evolved from there? And
yeah, our good friend Caleb used to be in the band, and then he moved on, and we found Will over here. Will and I have been good friends for a long time.
Yeah, found me under a bush.
Yeah, and we were like, hey, Will. You like to party, right?
Well, I'd actually been I'd been a fan of the band before I was in the band.
That's true.
So it was pretty cool because, you know, I would always hit Stratton up and be like, hey, man, if you ever want me to sit in?
And we whatever. Would always say,
I was just
no.
Always, it was always fun, you know, like, and I would, like, go to the shows and I would be like, I remember going up to Stratton multiple times after shows and being like, the thing about this is it's actually really good.
Yeah,
and
he would explain a lot of things to me.
It was cool for me because I got to come in to the band as a fan. And so when they asked me, you know, to play, I was like, this is awesome.
It was a big deal for him.
It was a big deal. So it was awesome.
Will was really nervous around us for the first few years.
Yeah, I was super, super. I still get nervous. Yeah. But John just, you know, he'll just yell at me with his auto tune. That's his real voice, autotune.
The autotune.
And
is,
he gets me into shape.
That, well, you're actually the guy behind the Cotton Patch Hemp Company, right?
That's true. It's my family's company, and me and my wife and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law started the company a couple years ago. We've got a hemp farm in Hartsville, South Carolina, and we make a lot of awesome products. And so we figured it'd be cool to hop on this and sponsor this year. And so, yeah, we're going to be out and about. The whole family, everybody that's part of the company is going to be there. We're going to be, you know, there to talk about all things hemp and CBD. If anyone has any questions, we'll be giving out some goodies, passing out lots of swag, and we'll have, like, discount opportunities for people to check us out on the website, which is cottonpatchhemp.com. And, yeah, we'll just be there having a good time with everybody else.
I got to ask you, Will, but how is hemp farming in South Carolina nowadays, man?
So it's a crazy thing. And, I can't speak too much on it as an expert because my brother-in-law, Will, is actually the main, he's the head farmer. And so he does it all. And he's just a absolute green thumb and mastermind of growing. So like he's a traditional, farmer in the sense of they grow cotton, soybean, wheat, corn, things like that. And they've been doing that for generations in the family. And then we added a few years ago the hemp. And so anyway, my brother-in-law, Will, does all the growing. We grow in a greenhouse. And he is just, he's got it down to a science. First year we started outside in a field and we learned quickly that between the elements, you know, out there in South Carolina, the humidity, the rain, the bugs, everything. It was just easier for us to do it in a controlled environment.
Yeah, why the U.S. ever got away from hemp production, I'll never understand. I'm so glad it's back in the Palmetto State. So that's cool. I mean, Cotton Patch Hemp Company, part of the Face Funk festivities at the Poorhouse on Saturday night. And is it just me or you guys have a lot of fun just hanging out? Much less, I would imagine, the collaborative efforts you guys have when writing songs.
It's mostly for show. you know, I don't really like the music or the people in the band that much. We realized we could make a lot of money doing it, Yeah. And that's kind of just what's been the driving force.
Yeah.
Like when you see us smiling on stage, it's just because we're thinking about how much money we're making.
That's great. That's a good motive right there. I mean, but it does look like you guys are not only having a good time, but
we're good actors.
How? But the writing of songs. I mean, you know, I'm thinking of just some of the songs you guys perform. That how does the songwriting process? I mean, I saw it described as a collaborative free for all.
Sure.
We kind of just throw everything at the wall and see what sticks, and then there's your song. And I imagine it probably gets a little more organic when you start performing it on stage and where it could go and lead to, and the interactions right. with the audience and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, so for us it is, and I don't know if it's like this for all people writing music, but we tend to bang out the first 90% of the song in like 5 minutes usually. It's just like throw as many ideas as you can, and then there's just the long process of like refining it and filtering out all of the ideas that are too dumb even for us.
Yeah. And then we spend about 2 or 3 years before we complete the song.
Yeah. That is, we go on the road and then we play it, the 75% done version of it, and then 2 years later we release it.
I mean, do you guys probably like make each other laugh when you come up with lyrics and lines and you're like, man, we're going to have Julie deliver this and we'll be back playing behind her and let her go ahead and take care of all that? And it's got to be, I mean, I know she's a blast as a front woman, but just, it's got to be a lot of fun to say, let's try this or what about this? Or just, I mean, it really does seem like you guys are really, it's no holds barred when you're writing a song or when you're performing a song.
Yeah, usually I'm thinking more about what kind of snacks to accompany the songs.
Ah, okay.
I just actually got a new griddle that is a panini presser also, so I can do paninis. Which I know the gang is very excited about.
And we had a long discussion about this on this. We've got this sex brew. Well, we've got a couple different sex brews text threads, which I know most probably bands and people do, but you know, you could get anywhere from 100 to 500 texts a day because the whole band's on the chain. So we had a nice long discussion the other day via text about this new cooking setup.
It was controversial.
It got a little heated.
Literally.
So, yeah, you know, but literally, yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, yeah, we got a new
But we all decided on this new one. It's by Cuisine Arts, I believe.
Isn't it Cuisinart?
Oh.
I might be totally making
I think it's Cuisinart.
I think it's Cuisinart.
I think it is Cuisinart.
Cuisinart?
Sure. Yeah.
That's 3-1, Stratton. Sorry.
But Stratton, okay. You can call it Cuisinart if you want.
Yes, yes.
Well, I just do culinary arts on stage. It sounds a little better.
Tell us about the EP, Rhythmic White Noise for Sleeping, that you guys have released. I know you'll be playing a bunch of stuff of that at Face Funk on Saturday, but I mean, putting some stuff together and getting it out there for the masses who want to hear some more sex brews.
Yeah, it's basically a collection of songs we wrote over the last year, and then plus a cover of a Phil Collins song, In the Air Tonight.
And it's a straightforward cover. I mean, it's
Yeah, we have to give him lots of money for that. Phil was not holding back on how much money he needed.
Yeah, but, you know, since he heard it, I mean, he likes it. He's pretty cool with it. I was just talking to him this morning before the interview just to make sure it was cool if I talked about, you know, how he and I hang out and we're boys.
I think he said that was fine, right?
No, but he, yeah, no, so aside from that though,
post.
Yeah, just edit that part out. Make it sound like Phil and I are boys in post. Is this live? This is live?
Well, you know, we can always fix it all in post-production, you know, so it's okay. I'm sure Phil Collins is a big Sex Brews fan, just like I'm sure you guys are a big Phil Collins Genesis fan, right?
Yeah. Well,
so the biggest, Phil Collins fan, and actually that was our connection to Phil Collins is my 13-month-old son. He's a huge Phil fan.
He loves Phil.
And so he and Phil were chatting the other day, and he was like, you know, my son was like, hey, Phil, can they cover this? And Phil was like, yeah.
He's like, for you, Baby
for
Blaine?
For you, Baby Blaine, anything.
Yeah.
We've got the guy some Sex Brews hanging out in the studio with us for Face Funk on Saturday the 14th at the Poorhouse. So tell us about the Ford Taurus video you guys are. I've heard some stories about you guys have purchased the Taurus and you're doing some stuff. And to explain to everybody what you're doing with this that we can see coming soon from Sex Brews.
Yeah, so we're friends with a lot of the crew that work on some productions for Danny McBride here in the Lowcountry. Shout out Seamless Pictures, Parrot, and Kyle, the rest of the gang. They are putting a lot of time and work into this video. We think we're going to release this sometime in like 2028.
Summer.
With the production schedule.
Mm, it's a summer song.
Yeah, summer of 2028.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, we've been working on this video for a while. It's pretty high production for us. And
we've gotten two scenes shot.
Yeah.
Out of like 40.
So it's pretty hard work.
But you were correct in that we purchased a Ford Taurus.
It's a 99.
It's a 99. It had to be a 99 because Barrett, the director, you know, there's a song lyric in the song specifies a 99. And so Barrett wanted, you know, I love the attention to detail. He wanted a 99.
They're also very hard to find.
They're very hard to find.
It's a very highly sought after car.
So we got the 99 finally.
I know a lot of police have Ford Tauruses. Oh,
yeah.
As well. Yeah.
It's really? I didn't know that.
Emerald green.
Yeah. That was a popular cop car back then.
Well, we got the Taurus. We fixed up the interior. We just got a good fresh paint job
fresh
on
paint.
It.
Fresh paint. Yeah.
I mean, I think power steering still doesn't work on it. We put more into the car than we paid for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got like hundreds and hundreds of dollars into this thing.
Yeah.
We got tens of hundreds of dollars into this thing.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm gathering that you guys are irreverent on stage, off stage, in life, in general, hanging out together. I imagine it's sort of like you guys almost egg each other on a little bit more so that it just gets more and more interesting every time you're hanging out. And that's what makes it so much fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say so.
Irreverence running amok.
Yeah.
What is the biggest misconception that people have about Sex Brews?
I think it's kind of what you just said about us being friends and stuff. Like, it's kind of a misconception that we put out there. But really, like I said earlier, you know, it's just kind of, we're like coworkers, you know, I put up with them because of the money again, but, just the fact like that we like each other and all that stuff, you know, in reality, the gang kind of gets on my nerves most of the time. And
yeah, that's true.
And since she's not here, I mean, tell us about Julie Slonecki for those who, you know, fans and know about, you know, Sex Brews. I mean, are you guys ever surprised? Well, not only for Julie, but are you guys ever surprised at what any other one of you guys do on stage during a show? Or do you know what's going to happen or you have no idea?
I would say that I am not surprised because Julie is usually... she'll forget some lyrics sometimes, and I have to go whisper them in her ears, and then by that time, it's too late, because it's already gone around, but she knows for next time.
Yeah, it's really helpful when Stratton comes over and whispers in your ear, like, after the song's already over, he'd be like, hey, just so you know, you forgot, like, a big part of the song.
Yeah.
The lyrics you forgot.
Yeah, and I'm usually like, here's some Doritos.
Yeah. It's like, shh. Eat these Doritos.
Sorry, Julie Slonecki, that you're not here, so we could talk about you now since you're not here.
She loves that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you guys surprised at what Sex Brews has become from where you started? I mean, is this already more than you thought? And what do you think the future holds then for you guys? Because y'all are busy, prolific. You've got a following. You play a lot of shows in the Lowcountry, and you guys obviously have an infinite amount of ideas that you're like, what the hell? Let's just try that.
Right. You want to take that one, Will?
What was the question? No, I'm just kidding. I think that it's just so much fun. And like you said, the ideas that pour from these guys and gal in this band are just crazy. And so, yeah, we're always trying things and putting it out there. And
sometimes it's not very good. And we'll play a song like once or twice live, and then we'll go,
That didn't work.
Not very good, is it?
You know, sometimes you try stuff, it doesn't work. But yeah, like, you know, you're seeing most of the ideas on stage that made the cut.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that didn't, because literally everything gets thrown at the wall with this band.
Like, I had a song called Transition Lenses, and it's all about my transition glasses that, my prescription glasses that
transition
from dark sunglasses to regular glasses, so it's cool in the daytime and then creepy at night. But then we played it and we realized that not many people wear transition lenses, and nobody understood what we were talking about.
Yeah, and it was It had like a real B-52s vibe, which we were like, this is great. Everyone loves the B-52s. Turns out not.
Yeah.
They're, people like them. They're like a novelty kind of band, which I guess you could argue we are too. But yeah, we were, the Transition Lenses song has been retired from the Sex Brews catalog, at least for now.
I still enjoy it. I'll put it on every now and then while I'm wearing my Transition Lenses. But other than that, I don't really.
Do we have copies of this? We have audio copies of Transition Lenses?
Probably some cell phone recording of it somewhere.
That's going to be for the box set with the B-sides and the unreleased material and stuff, right? Yeah. So, well, man, it's so good to have you guys here, and it's so good to be ready to see you guys at Face Funk, the 14th annual there at the Poorhouse, brought to you by the Cotton Patch Hemp Company. We like to mention that. But, I mean, is it fair to say irreverent, satirical, humorous? And I mean, because at the same time, you guys are musicians.
Yeah,
I mean,
you guys forget about that.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are up there playing those instruments and having a good time and rocking the house because everybody in the room is having a good time.
That's true.
We didn't set out to like be a funny comedy band or anything. We kind of just set out to write bangers. And that's just kind of our personalities. It's just what comes through in the music.
You can't help it. We didn't hang out with each other.
Yeah, like we're not like out here writing songs about like serious, you know, relationship troubles or love stories, you know?
I'll have to say it's like, especially when I first started playing with this band, like I had trouble getting through the songs because I was laughing so hard. And that still happens sometimes. So it's a real treat.
Usually
to
just
play
mute
with
his
guys.
Mic.
It's made playing other music not like less is fun or less fun or anything, but it's just really like made playing with these guys a treat because it's just so much fun on stage.
Thanks, Will.
Well, it's a lot of treat to see you guys in concert too. It really is.
Thank you.
And I'm really looking forward to seeing Face Funk, the whole thing that's going
on. Yeah, it's
going to
be a fun thing. We're starting out with my dad's band on the deck, and the International Harvesters is their one gig a year. They're actually rehearsing now, so I can vouch for them that they're going to crush it.
Are they going to play Mustang Sally?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
And you also will see some cuisine art or cuisine art.
Yeah, it's up to interpretation.
On stage with the desktop Tronica, and that's where you'll see Julie and John, Will and Stratton, Sex Brews. You got to make sure you put the emphasis there with the question mark at the end. If you don't, you're messing up the pronunciation.
That's true.
So thank you guys so much for coming
for
in here.
Us.
No,
yeah,
you
thanks
me?
For having us.
I, like I said, I've had, the first time I saw you guys, somebody told me about y'all. And I'm like, okay, but the description was sort of like
very vague.
Yeah, what is that? So then I saw you guys, and I was even more confused afterwards because it was so much fun. It was so much fun, but it was also good musically, and it was just really engaging. I'm like, I would go see them again in a heartbeat.
Thanks.
And that's the best compliment you get. You go and have a good time. Like, let's go see them again.
Yeah.
And I think you guys have developed a following around the Lowcountry.
Yeah. You know, we like to just confuse people. That's kind of our MO here.
Well, mission accomplished. And I'm sure that this conversation did nothing to clear the air. But Stratton Moore, Will Evans, John Pope, Julie Slanecki, who couldn't be here, Sex Brews, Saturday, May 14th at the Poorhouse in James Island, Face Funk, 14th annual Cotton Patch Hemp Company. And you guys keep up the good work, man. Y'all are entertaining the Lowcountry, and we need that desperately. So we appreciate it very much. Enjoy.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks again.